All right, DZ Reynolds.
Thank you for the introduction. Again, I'm Zach Reynolds, second year master's student under Dr. Darren Dodds at Mississippi State. Palmer amaranth has become one of the biggest problems for producers in the Southeast as far as weed control. Due to several reasons. One, it's a very efficient user of carbon, has nearly twice the photosynthetic rate of cotton, and it's very adaptive to the heat of the southern United States due to it being native to the Sonoran Desert. Also, it's a prolific seed producer. In some cases, plant can produce up to 1 million seeds and can pollinate up to 300 meters away. As you can see this picture here, the bottom arrow was noted 2 days before the top arrow, just showing that in 2 days how much this plant can grow and get away from you in a hurry. This slide I set up for a 4 year scenario, starting with 1,000 plants per acre. If you had as high as 99% control and each plant produced 250,000 seeds with 10% germination, even at 99% control, after 4 years, you could have over 15 billion plants per acre. So just kind of get away from you in a hurry. With that said, and the introduction of the Roundup Ready Extend Flex cotton in the near future, we wanted to look at not only the weed control with Liberty and Clarity, but also how tip selection had an effect on coverage and droplet size. Liberty has continued to prove itself in providing not over well in upper 90% control of Palmer amaranth, and when combined with dicamba, has increased, in some cases, increased the weed control. So we wanted to use drift reducing nozzles and try to maintain the efficacy and determining the tip selection, the effect of tip selection on and herbicide program on the Palmer amaranth. Our experimental locations were in Dundee and Robinsonville, Mississippi, which are both in Tunica County, where the first glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth was reported in Mississippi. Our sites were on grower fields with natural populations of the glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth and 95% plus resistance. As you can see, the picture before that is pretty heavy infestations. Our target size at time of applications was 4 to 6 inches, and our all applications were made with a CO2 backpack sprayer, 15 gallons per acre and 47 PSI. Our herbicide treatments, Clarity at 16 ounces, Liberty alone at 29 ounces, a combination of these two, then a Clarity at 8 ounces and a Liberty at 15 ounces. And our fifth treatment was Roundup Power Max 22 ounces, tank mix with Clarity at 16. All of our spray tips were 110-015s and had extended range flat fan, green leaf twin fan, extended range air induction, and a turbo T-jet induction. Our plots were 4 rows wide, 40 feet long, and 4 reps deep. Our experimental design was a factorial arrangement of treatments in a randomized complete block. Our data was subject to analysis of variance, and our locations were treated as random effects, and our means were separated using Fisher's predicted LSD at alpha 0.05. Along with visual ratings or visual control, each week we took counts in a square meter and heights of the Palmer amaranth. This graph shows a percent reduction of the counts in a square meter when compared to an untreated check. Clarity and Liberty at the higher rate reduced plants significantly more than all the other treatments, around 88%. Clarity alone, compared to Liberty alone, significantly reduced plant populations, didn't reduce as many plants in the square meter as Liberty alone did. The visual control follows a similar pattern in that the Clarity and Liberty at the higher rate provided the best visual control. Liberty alone, Roundup plus Clarity, and Clarity plus Liberty at the half rate are not significantly different from each other, and clarity alone provided the lowest visual control 2 weeks after. 4 weeks after application, clarity plus liberty at the high rate again reduced plant populations in square meter the most, this time followed by Roundup plus clarity. 4 weeks after application, the liberty alone provided the lowest percent reduction of plants in the square meter. Visual control, 4 weeks after, the clarity plus liberty at the high rate and Roundup plus clarity were not significantly different and provided the highest control. Clarity alone provided better control 4 weeks after than liberty alone. Along with the counts and the heights 4 weeks after application, we took a biomass sample in the square meter. We pulled all the plants, dried them for 5 days, and took the dry weights. Clarity plus liberty and Roundup plus clarity provided the best control, so they had the lowest biomasses, while liberty alone provided the worst visual control 4 weeks after and had the highest total biomass. At the time of application to determine our coverage with these tips and herbicide programs, we put out spray cards. These cards, when they are contacted with moisture, went from yellow to blue. We worked with Dr. Greg Kruger at the University of Nebraska and ran these cards through a droplet scan program. This is a one card from each of the tips we use. Very different patterns, but we only use these cards for coverage. And this slide shows why whenever you spray, you get a splashes and droplets run together, so the program can't determine what is a droplet and what's not, or more than one, so it can't give you droplet size, but it can give you percent coverage. This slide shows our percent coverage based on tip. The herbicides did not have an effect on spray coverage, just the tips did. The XR tip provided the highest coverage, around 70%. Greenleaf Twin tip and the AIXR are not significantly different, and the TTI tip provided the lowest coverage. To determine our droplet sizes, we again worked with Dr. Greg Kruger and his crew at the University of Nebraska, and we went to their wind tunnel. The picture on the left, the fan, their old grain bin fan, blows through the tunnel, and the wind is broken up with a structure at the right in front of the fan that makes it produce a laminar flow. Flows even, it's not choppy wind, and it's 15 miles an hour is a wind that they determined was the most optimal to blow the droplets through and be measured and won't bounce around or be measured more than once. Picture on the right, where the computer system is and the laser, it measures the droplets and puts it in a classification based on the droplet size. Also, this fan is pulling the mixture through, and there's a scrubber system that cleans it. This is how the droplets are actually measured. On the left, that the pole there, the droplets are sprayed and the nozzle moves up and down. It's measured with that laser. There's a laser that goes across the tunnel and is recorded on the other side with a camera. And depending on how much of the laser is bent or diffracted, depends on how big or small the droplets are. And the computer system reads the camera and puts it in a classification based upon that. One of the readings it gives is a diameter volume rating, which is this, what this graph shows. The number at the end, 50, means whatever size is shown here, that 50% of the droplets in that mixture are that size or smaller. So for instance, the TTI tip with water, it's saying that around 50% of the droplets are right over 800 microns or smaller. 150 microns and smaller is the accepted range for to be called driftable. So you can see with the XR tip, a lot of the droplets are around the 150 micron range, saying that 50% of them are that big or smaller. So saying that if they're smaller than that, they're likely to drift. Also, with this graph, point out that mixtures with Liberty made the droplets smaller overall, which can increase the possibility for drift. So the TTI, you see the water, how big they are, and then you add the Clarity, reduces the droplet size some, and then the Liberty reduced it even more. This is the same graph of 90 DV90, saying that 90% of whatever this says, they're that size or smaller, saying that only 10% of them are larger than wherever these bars stop. Only problem with these graphs is you can't sometimes tell where the majority of the droplets lie in this 90%. So this computer system also gives numbers and graphs such as this. So this is the same idea, where at whatever percent of the micron size it lands on, it's that size or smaller. So if you look at 150 microns on the x-axis for Clarity plus Liberty, which is the top bar, it says around 45% of them are that size or smaller. So if you looked at 100 to 200 micron range for that same treatment, it's about 20% to about 45%. So you can also note that when the Liberty, it was added, it reduced the droplet sizes, which would make the bar be higher here instead of lower. However, with the TTI tip, if you look at the 150 micron range, not even 5% of them are that size or smaller. They put the 730 micron size on here because that's a very large droplet. With the XR tip, it was saying 100% of them are going to be smaller than that no matter what. Well, this graph, say the Liberty was that is the top triangle up there, it's saying that even 40% of them are bigger than that. It's very unlikely to drift, with a very low possibility for drift with this tip here. In conclusion, the tip selection didn't have an impact on the efficacy of the herbicides. Our most consistent treatments were Clarity and Liberty at the high rate of 16 and 29 ounces, and also Roundup at Clarity at 22 and 16 ounces. However, no single treatment provided adequate control, which drives home the need for sequential applications and using residual chemistries. Our tip selection did affect coverage and droplet size. Turbo T-Jet tip consistently provided the largest droplets, while the XR tip consistently provided smaller droplets. Also, it was noted that when Liberty and Roundup were added to the mixtures, it seemed to decrease droplet size, which could increase drift. The Roundup, when it was added, didn't seem to reduce it as much as Liberty. For future research, this kind of project could be done, however, using different volumes and pressures. This experiment, we used 15 GPA and a 47 PSI on all of it. We didn't vary. Also, using the spray cards to note the difference in coverage when you change the volumes and spray pressures. Also, look at droplet size with volume, different volumes and spray pressures. This will help us to refine the recommendations to help producers fight Palmer amaranth. This time, I'd like to thank Monsanto for funding this project. Also, I'd like to thank Dr. Greg Krueger and his crew at the University of Nebraska. They help us out a lot with droplet scan programs and helping us use their wind tunnel. Also, I'd like to thank my fellow graduate students and all the student workers that helped with this project. This time, I can take any questions.
Questions for our speaker? All right, let's thank our speaker.